people joining us. Good morning again. We're in James 5, verses 19 through 20 today. I'm glad you're with me, whether you're with me live right now on Facebook, or on the podcast listening, or later on YouTube, wherever you are, whenever you are, glad you're here. Check in, let us know you're here, say hi, leave a comment, and as you're thinking about it, tell me something that you've enjoyed about our Bible study time together, and just leave that for me in the comments there on your Facebook page. So let's pray, and we'll get started, and looking forward to our time together. If only you could have my view, by the way. Those of you who are on the videos, I look through the camera. Right past the camera on the other side is my dog sitting on the sofa, just like this. So I'm seeing the camera, then I'm right past it, like a night Lucy. Anyway, she's so cute. Let's pray. We'll get started in our Bible study, all right? Okay. Heavenly Father, we invite you once again into our time together this morning. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for how renewing it is in our life, to wake up, be in your word, and to know that we are ready to go for our day, for our life, really. Thank you for that. And we ask that you would give us the wisdom that we need today to understand it, apply it to our life, and really better know who you are. Thank you for revealing yourself in scripture to us and the gift that this word is. We ask that you would be blessed in our time right now, edified in our time, that we would be again renewed and transformed in our thinking so we can again live our lives more clearly focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's do this. I'm going to read for you James 5:19 and 20. Again, our last portion of our study through James. This will be from the English Standard Version of the Bible as usual. And let's go ahead and just read. You can follow along and take your notes as we go. My brothers, if anyone among you is wandering from, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death, and will cover a multitude of sins. Well, James has been very clear throughout his entire book, calling out sin, and now closing with the calling out righteous to do the right thing, okay? And what happens when that's done. So let's dig into some of our questions today. And I'm going to be over on our Bible study page. If you haven't downloaded the Bible study, if this is your first time joining us for the study, you're going to want to download that. It's free, and you can get that off of our church website, lamoradachurch.com. Just go to the Women's Ministry page and then click over to Bible study. Scroll down, and you'll see all of the Bible studies are made available to you for free there. You can study anyone, anytime, and then during the season that we're in, we're live, and we do the Bible study together in the mornings. And then put out the recording for you to join us. So this one's available. It's our James study. You'll see that through the Coffee Talk series. All right. So let's go ahead to our questions then through the Bible study. Four times in James, he tells the reader, quote, if anyone something, summarize each instance here. So grab your Bible and let's go back and see through what James has done with his if anyone phrases. So we're going to begin with James 1, verse 23. James 1, 23 reads, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. So summarize that. We've talked a lot about, in James, about hearing the word and not doing the word and the problem with that. And so as we wrap up and reflect throughout all of James today, we want to make sure we're not doing the same thing. Have we just heard James that we're not really doing it in our life? So summarize James 1:23 there. I'm going to mark that so I can come back to that later. James 1:23. Again, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself, I should continue that really, and goes away, and once he forgets what he looks like, we've read that before, so I know you all knew that. We don't want to just be hearers, we want to be doers of the word. Let's take a look further now in James 1:26, another if anyone phrase that James uses. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. If you're religious, If you don't control your tongue, worthless. Okay? James 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. So you control the tongue, you're controlling your whole body. Okay? And then James 5, 19. Let's read that again. If anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back. All right? So we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that concept in just a moment. So take a minute to jot down your summary there of 519 now, and then we'll move on to number two. In order to respond to any of these if situations, what must someone be aware of? So you did your summary. All right, let's go back. Just a quick review for 123. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, 126, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue. 3:2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. And 5:19, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. So in order to respond to any of these if situations, what must we be aware of? Well, we need to be aware of what we should have done or could have done in a situation. In other words, we wouldn't say, if you had only done this, if there wasn't some other possibility of something you could have done. So think about that. And then number three, this presupposes, thinks before, assumes a fact before. This presupposes that we as followers of Christ are not only aware of our own heart issues, but of others as well, of one another's as well. How can we be more aware of each today? How can we be more aware of our own heart, and how can we be then more aware of others as well? If James is saying, if you're like this, you should be like that. If you're like this, you should be like that. If anyone does this, you know, he's not that, right? If he's saying that, then this is making a judgment call. This is saying you're having an awareness of how things should be. That means things should be a certain way. James is making a pretty bold statement here, all right? So how can we be more aware of this? Now, we've done a lot of this in our reflection time in Bible study over the course of the last several weeks, going through not only this study, but any of the studies that we do. We're constantly looking at this idea of how can we be more aware of the issues in our heart. So I'd be curious, those of you who are on Facebook, you can respond right away and just type in a thought or concept and answer there, or what you're thinking of. Those of you listening on podcast or YouTube, you could also write in a comment as well, and we'll be able to get back to you quite as quickly. But Facebook is a great way for us to be able to engage with each other. So go ahead and jot that down. What are your thoughts? I'd like to hear. Tell me. What are your thoughts on that? How can we be more aware of each today? What would you say in response to that? I'd be curious to see what you have to say. I think we live in a society right now where there seems to be a prevailing notion that we shouldn't be aware necessarily of what someone else should be doing. Why? Because that makes it look like what we're judging them, right? Well, judging in the negative sense comes from a critical spirit, harsh heart, prideful, hypocrisy, self-righteous, right? Those are the character traits that God has asked us not to have. Those are sin, confess. And yet we're still, as James is saying, to be aware, to know that there is an if you don't do this, you should be doing that. If you do this, it's probably because you weren't doing that. James is saying there's an awareness that we need to have. How can we cultivate that awareness in our own heart? And how can we be more aware for the sake of others? As James says in his wrap-up, anyone among you wanders from the truth, someone brings him back, you're going to save his soul. So I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are on that one. Moving on. I know you'd like me to give you the answer right now, but I'm not going to do it because I want to hear from you. This isn't one of those, here's your correct answer. This is, here's what I'm thinking. I'd love to hear you engage with that and share. And that's where the benefit of coming together when we have our weekly actual in-person studies comes, because we can really engage on those types of questions. All right, so James 5:19 tells us to do what and to whom. So he says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, someone brings him back. All right. So what is this saying? This is bringing back someone who wanders from the truth. And that is, he's talking someone among you. Well, who's James referring to as the among you? Who is he referring to? Well, go back to the beginning of James. Who did he write the letter to? Let's go back to James, the very beginning. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. To the 12 tribes in the dispersion. James is talking to Jews who've been dispersed, who are not all living in the same region, because the letter would have been circulated among others. And as we'll learn in 1 Peter next week, this would also now include Christians, those who are Gentiles, those who weren't born a Jew into the Jewish faith as a family. But he's talking to believers of Christ, right? Jews and Gentiles. All right. So anyone among you, among the letters that I'm being distributing, among the other call-outs that he's given throughout this letter, is anyone among you able to do this? You should, he's saying. All right. So number five, what are the two results of bringing someone back from wandering from the truth? And then read also 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, which is right where we're going to be next week. Super excited about that. Hold on. Get some water. Before my throat shrivels up like a little dried out raisin. Even raisins have more moisture than my throat does in the morning. All right. What are the two results of bringing someone back from wandering from the truth? Now, in James we read, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of what? What will he cover a multitude of? Type that in on Facebook Live, and then otherwise, those of you who are at home listening, just shout it out. Maybe I'll hear you. All right, let's take a look at 1 Peter 4. Exciting to read that with you right now, because that is our new Bible study. We are going to spend the next week in the book of 1 Peter, and I'm digging it. Super excited to give you guys this study tonight at Bible study and tomorrow morning. Almost done writing it for you. Ah! Let me read this to you. The end of all things is at hand, from 1 Peter. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded, for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. You catch that phrasing there? Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. All right. Awesome stuff, right? So you hear that familiar phrase James also uses. Love, he says in Peter, covers a multitude of sins. And in 1 Peter, he will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is an act of love, calling out a brother who's wandered from the truth, right? This isn't you in harsh judgment of someone calling somebody out who's wandered from the truth. This isn't us being harsh, and this isn't something we should avoid, all right? Think of it this way. If somebody, perish the thought, you're at a barbecue or whatever, and a fire got started, or they didn't realize it on their arm. What do? We pat that out, or if it's really big, they might hit the deck, and then maybe we throw a blanket over them, right? What are we doing? We're covering that. You wouldn't just see somebody and go, well, oh gosh, the guy's burning. I don't want to hurt his feelings. Let him know that his arm's on fire. Oh my gosh, he's got flames crawling up his back. I wouldn't want to yell at him and scare him. No. Our instant reaction is the correct one. Protect. Cover. Help, assist, put the fire out, save him from damage, right? We don't want to see someone hurt, okay? So why in our practical Christian living then do we hold back? I don't want to hurt their feelings. When we see someone wandering from the truth, oh, maybe it's just the path they're on right now and they're going to work it out on their own. I don't want to get involved. It's a risk, Al's. It's something that we're called to do though. So I'd like us to check our heart on this today. Is this a truth from God's word that you are hesitant to apply in your life? Or are you willing to say, I will do this? Are you able to make that call there to see that covering a multitude of sins is an act of love Calling someone back from error is an act of love. Okay? So where are you in that walk? And maybe prayerfully consider if this is an area of growth for you. All right. So number six, consider what you would have to know in order or do in order to be effective and righteous in, quote, bringing back a wanderer from the truth. Turn on my fan. Hold on just a second. This is a great time of year, right? Well, it is in my house, at least. When I go from being comfortable to all of a sudden, maybe it's the time of season of my life, to I'm comfortable to, oh my gosh, I'm totally overheating. That's the season I'm in right now. I think it's called premenopause. So anyway, I'm going to get the fan on here. Excuse me while I take this little break so I don't melt in the heat. As you see my face break out in a cold sweat, or a hot sweat, I should say. This is not fun. Okay. Thank God for remote controls on my fan now. I got this fabulous new fan. Okay. Sorry for that little break. Let's get back. Okay. Consider what you would have to know in order to be effective and righteous in, quote, bringing back a wanderer from truth. What would you have to know? Well, go back to the burning guy. His back's on fire. His arm's on fire. What would you have to know to be willing to stop the fire? Well, you would have to know that fire is bad. That is going to hurt him. You would have to know that. If you were ignorant of fire, and I think most people are pretty born with an instinct about the dangers of fire. But you would have to know, wouldn't you, that fire is dangerous. It's going to hurt this guy. And so you'd have to know the truth about fire, wouldn't you? This is going to end in harm for this guy. This is not going to end well if someone doesn't step up and do something right here in this moment. This is not going to be okay. You would have to be very convinced, convicted, and assured of that, right? Number one. Number two, you would need to know what to do to put out the fire. What are you going to do? You're not going to, you know you're not going to just blow on it. That's not going to really work on a really damaging fire on someone, right? And you know you're not going to grab oil and put it on there, or grab a can of beer and put it on there. It's got alcohol in it and all that, right? You're going to do something that's really going to be effective. You're going to cover that up so there is no oxygen that can get to it. You're going to put that out, right? So you would have to know the truth yourself. You yourself, you need to be assured of the truth, right? You need to make a judgment call. I know this is bad. I'm making a call. This is bad for him. I'm making a call on that. And then you need to act on it in love. We've heard the word preached before, the verse, to speak the truth in love. Or as James says, love is what Peter says. We just read, love covers a multitude of sins, right? Okay, so number seven. Considering this world's popular notion, and it has infected Christianity, by the way, it's not just in the world, that truth is relative, or your truth is as good as mine. What does it say about truth that someone could wander from it? Okay, the world is saying truth is relative. Your truth is as good as my truth. What is James saying about truth that you could divert from truth, that you could wander from it? What does that say about truth that James is saying? You can pull someone back to the truth. Okay, are you ready? Thinking about that? Consider that. What does it say about truth then? Well, there is an objective truth as far as God is concerned, right? We as believers should know it well, okay? We should be very familiar with the truth and be loving enough to guide somebody back. What does that take on our part then? We need to be living out the Beatitudes in our life. We need to be meek. We need to be kind, right? We need to be peacemakers. The Word of God tells us that we are ministers of reconciliation. We need to be bringing people back. If you have got a reputation of being harsh, unkind, in your face with people, difficult to get along with, right? Then sure, when you call someone out and they're wandering from the truth, even if you are right on and they are on fire, if you're even right on all of that, if you have a reputation or if you set a precedent in the way you live your life as being harsh and judgmental and unkind and mean-spirited and quick to act and speaking words out of anger, then No. Even if you're trying to put out the fire, they're going to resist you and fling accusations at you of you're being judgmental, right? So that's why we need to go back all the way to the beginning of James. How are we living our life, right? Are we just being hearers of the word, not doers? Because then when we go out and pull someone back from wandering from the truth, that's not going to come off well at all, because they know how we've been living our life. Why would they want to give us one bit of attention? I won't care about us trying to put the fire out and what bring them back in. Now, be mindful that James is talking about within the body of Christ, that we're bringing each other back in. Remember what it says here. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth. Ladies, this isn't us out there in this context. This isn't us out there preaching the gospel to unrepentant sinners out there. Okay, we're repentant sinners in here. This is we've accepted Jesus Christ. We've given our lives to the Lord. We're fully surrendered to Him. We've admitted our need for Christ, and we've been surrendered to His will, right? Okay, that's who James is talking about. He's not talking about our approach with the rest of the world. Ladies, these folks are unregenerate in their spirit. And so when we go to put out a fire on them, there could be a calling back of them saying, well, thank you, and they can see that. But oftentimes it's a resistance because they don't have a heart softened to the gospel yet, right? So be careful. This isn't you walking around, you know, pulling everybody back in air on your Facebook page when you see them disagree with you politically. That's not what this is talking about, okay? This is us rightly dividing the word of truth, being good students of the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, and so that when we're gathered together as believers and one of us is wandering off, we can say, oh no, they're wandering off because here's what the truth is, and you're over here, right? As a child growing up in the church, my dad is a pastor, he would say from the pulpit, if you hear me misquoting scripture, if I'm off in my teaching here, please don't hesitate to let me know. And he would tell us as his kids, again, test and see that what I'm saying is good, right? Know the word yourself so that if I'm in error, you can call me back in. I'll tell you, my dad was a great role model in that way of role modeling, really being a good student of the word and being open to hearing somebody else's a view on, you know, if somebody's wandering away on that. That's the heart that I would love to see cultivated in our Bible study time together, that we would grow in our maturity in that also. All right, so number 8. What does Jesus say about truth? Let's read John 14:6 and then John 8:31-35. So back over here to the Gospels. Again, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what does Jesus say about the truth? He's the truth. All right, now let's go back to John 8:31. Where are you, our little verse 31? So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word and are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, if you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many of you have heard the last phrase of that verse quoted by somebody? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I have heard it quoted by Buddhists, by Hindus, by Sikhs, by Christians, by Mormons, by Jews, by name your religion. Anybody, a religious person, an atheistic person, an agnostic person. I have heard it quoted by all of the above. In various contexts, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, there's a certain degree of truth to that, even without the whole context. But the whole context is the key. If you abide in my word, Jesus says, and if you are my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is an important distinction as we relate in the world. When we come up against teaching that say, you know, all truth is God's truth, and there's a level of reality to some of that, we need to be careful because we need to understand the definition of truth. If you abide in my word and you are my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? I am the truth. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, right? Pilate washes his hands, Jesus, right before he's crucified. What is truth, he says. Jesus, if you'd only known, he was standing in front of truth embodied. So, ladies, this is where we come to in our conclusion of James. This is where the reality sets in. If we go back through James and we see how to live a righteous life, how to live a life that's consistent at home, at church, at work, with our family, right? How we live that life consistently, we're hearers of the word, we're doers of the word. We're women of faith, and we're women of action in our faith. We put that to work. We live that out, okay? And we are so assured of the truth that when one of us strays from that truth, we're like a proximity alert goes off. Ding, 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 ding. You know, like a house, we have motion sensors in our home. If we set up turn all the alarm system on and someone moves when they're not supposed to be inside the house, an alarm will go off. Well, the same thing should be going on spiritually in our heart. If someone moves in a direction that isn't the right way, an alarm will go off. Wait, that's not right. They're wandering from the truth. Same thing goes for us, though. We need to make sure, like it says in Psalm 139, that we ask God to test our heart, know our anxious thoughts, see if there's offensive ways in us, so that we can be led in the everlasting way, the way of truth. Amen? All right, prayers. Wandering from the truth, sins, and being spared from sin or death. A lot of concepts in these few verses may leave you with more questions than answers or in need of more clarification. If you are wanting more, let's talk. So you can reach me at jennifer@lamoradachurch.com. You can call me. My number is right there printed in the Bible study. You're welcome to give me a call. And I'd be happy to engage with you. Whether you are pretty confident in your faith and just need some clarification, or you're just questioning all of this and you're not even ready or haven't really given your life to the Lord yet, and you just stumbled across this Bible study and you're questioning, what is this Christian faith all about? I want you to know that's my heart, is to connect with people. And my job isn't to convince anybody. My job is to just read the word and go over it with you and let you decide. The Holy Spirit will prompt inside of all of our hearts what needs to be learned and understood, right? All right. God bless you. Really enjoyed being with you in James. I'm super excited to start 1 Peter with you tomorrow. I will be right back here tomorrow for our opening session of 1 Peter. Invite your friends. It's going to be amazing. I'm at the very end of finishing writing the Bible study for you, and I'm just bursting with excitement about what we're doing in 1 Peter. So please invite your friends to listen to the podcast, to watch the Facebook Live. I would love to see a whole new crop of people on our Facebook Live at 7 a.m. I know it's early. Some of you have work you have to get ready for. You can't join us live. That's okay. Be with us on YouTube later on. I'm going to post this up in just a minute so people can access it. En route to work, you can just put it on and listen to it while you're driving and then get into the word on your own later. But this is a great way for us to be in community with each other. So share the podcast, share this Facebook video, share the YouTube video when you see it, and invite everyone to join us. Invite everyone to go back to the beginning of James if they haven't done it with us. They can get it all for free on the website. And then, of course, we are starting our 1 Peter series. These are short, little, encapsulated series that are easy for anyone to jump in and get started with. So do me a favor and share the Facebook page, share the YouTube, share the podcast, whatever it is you're listening to, and just email it to someone, text it to someone, let people know you're listening and enjoying. And also for me, I love it when I hear back from you at some point. Hey, I listened to the Bible study. It really helped me. Or I enjoyed our discussion time or whatever it is. But what is also helpful is when I know right away that you're doing that. Because sometimes I won't hear for a couple of weeks that people were even connecting and listening. So anyway, it's just great to have you guys with me whenever it is. But immediate feedback is really helpful for me also, so I don't feel like I'm just talking to empty space out there. Anyway, have a great rest of your day. God bless you. It's really been a blessing for me to do James with you. And I look forward to our next study, like I said, in 1 Peter. God bless you. You are loved. you're prayed for, as always. I will see you tonight at Coffee Talk. Super excited. I'll be delivering the talk tonight on my walk of faith and what that's been like for me. And so if you are a person who's ever been wondering about what faith really looks like in a Christian woman's life, and a Christian woman who's been through life, how do I hold on to faith during that time? How do I act out my faith during those difficult times? I'll be sharing my story tonight at our coffee talk and again tomorrow morning at 9:30. So hopefully you'll be there with me. For now, thanks again for being with me on Bible study, and I will see you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.